The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Around Your Questions, episode 589. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Munjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, we have returned, and happy Father's Day to those who celebrate. If
Happy
you have a
Father's
father.
Day to the fathers.
If you have a father, you know, it is your day. And because of that, that's why Chris is not here. He celebrates with the family, you know?
He's well, you know, the two fathers, the two gaming fathers that are not here because of Father's Day.
Yeah, well, Adam's not here because,
Adam's at the TV. He's waiting at the TV terminal.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, so shout out to everybody in the chat right now. All right, man, we're not going to waste any time. Let's get into it, man. We got a lot of questions about GTA 6 for obvious reasons. You know, the pre-orders are going to go live this week on Thursday, I believe. So that'll be interesting. We'll finally learn how much this shit costs. Anyway, so the first couple of questions here are from Phantom Snake. So his first question we already answered on the Thursday show. He wanted to see what our price predictions was for the standard edition. We actually answered that. And we kind of all agreed it's going to start at $70. So we'll go to the second question, which is how much does he think the collector's edition is going to cost? So he says, I'll say the deluxe is going to start at $100, which includes online play and early access to single player. That's interesting. Collectors for $120 with the same as deluxe. Plus shark cards and some exclusive online vehicles. I think you're lowballing. I think there's gonna I think there's gonna be at least one collector's edition that's closer to $300. I think that may be lowballing it too. You know, they're gonna have.
For me, I feel like there's got to be one that's gonna be like $250 at least.
Oh yeah,
$250 shark cards. Maybe it has a physical edition. Yeah, it probably would be a physical edition. And maybe it has something on it, like a statue or a little figure or something like that, plus the shark cards and stuff. So, yeah, $250 for sure. There's got to be one that's at that price range.
Yeah, not to take, you know, ape or your answer, but I agree with that. You know, $100, that's going to be for one of the deluxe, like, you know, regular editions, I think,
a digital deluxe.
Digital deluxe, yeah. Like, the $100 one is not going to come with anything physical, you know? Phantom Snake, what's going on, brother? He's in the chat. He goes, I can see those. Yeah, dude, I think you're lowballing it, son. $100? That's going to be like, you know, a deluxe edition with like a map or some shit, you know, maybe if you're lucky, but it's probably just going to be some digital add-ons. I think $250 for like, you know, a crazy edition, steel box and all that, fake gun, you know, maybe some crack. I don't know, man.
An alligator,
that's right. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think these collector's editions are going to cost? Brian, I'll go to you. What do you think?
It's also tough one because we don't know what's in them. And I have another question. Did GTA 5 have a collector's edition?
Because
I honestly cannot remember if it did or not.
So that's of course you don't remember. Brian was fucking 13 years ago.
So according to our Google overlords, AI. Yes, Rockstar Games released a physical Grand Theft Auto 5 Collector's Edition for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in 2013. The bundle retailed at $149.99 and came housed in a premium outer box.
Yeah, expect that, but for $250, you know. By the way, Phantom Snake
says $300.
$300 is a good one too. I agree with that. Shit. By the way, Phantom Snake says he didn't take into account physical versions. Yeah. Because, yeah, if $100 for a digital one, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? But, yeah, Brian, I think you might be right. But yeah, so I'm gonna go with $250, $300 in that price range. I wonder if it's going to be a crazy edition for $1,000 for the whales, the true ballers, you know? All right, what about the rest of you guys?
It's the butt edition.
What do you think about the collection edition price?
Yeah, I would definitely think that the physical edition will probably be the most. I don't know. What was the low ball that he said? 100?
Yeah, that's for the digital edition though. We're speculating 250 to 300 for the physical, you know, with the crazy stuff.
I wouldn't go 300, but I would say 200.
All right. And Rich, what about you? What do you say?
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I think it's 250 because they did have a lot of collector's editions in the past. I recall that none of those editions were over $200. So I can see them saying 250, and that will be what the whales buy. I don't know if they have another edition after that, but that one I'm sure will probably sell out faster than everything else.
Yeah, you already know. Ironically, yeah, the most expensive edition is going to sell out fast. And then the shit's going to be on eBay that same day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Moving on here. Woo. We got a question from Eurocar 9, son.
Oh.
Very interesting question. Rich, who here is pre-ordering GTA 6? Now, again, I always say with these type of questions, it puts me and Rich in a very tricky situation because for the most part, not all the time, but for the most part, we get games for review, you know, so we don't have to pre-order anything. But for no reason whatsoever, so I'm not going to pre-order, obviously. But here's the thing. I stopped pre-ordering games many, many years ago because I kept getting ripped off, you know. And Brian, I know you stopped pre-ordering, you know, after the after Cyberpunk, right? After it retaught you that lesson.
But I think, didn't Brian break the rule? Was it Crimson Desert or one of those games?
Yeah, Brian, give us the history.
Nope. Uh-oh.
Okay. So history was, I was burnt. Oh, Jesus Christ, how old it is. I was burnt by Watch Dogs 1.
Because
weren't we all? Watch
Dogs 1. So I said, okay, You know what? I only do it for games that I not trust, but I believe that the developers are decent and will probably be worth it. So didn't pre-order a bunch of stuff. So then Cyberpunk is announced. So I thought, okay, CD Projekt Red, they've done well with The Witcher 3. So I'll pre-order that. And then Cyberpunk happened. And then now it's a case of, unless there's some interesting exception to the rule, I will never pre-order. And I say that because the only other game I technically did, again, pure technicality, was Monster Hunter Wilds, because there was a discount and the game was actually, the Steelbook edition was cheaper than the Steelbook edition pre-order was cheaper than the regular game at launch.
Interesting.
So I was like, okay, that's worth it at least. And I only bought it 2 days before the game came out. So it arrived the day of launch. So technically it's a pre-order, but I don't really count it as a pre-order.
Okay. For no reason whatsoever, Carlos, are you going to pre-order?
Well, here's the thing. I haven't been let down by GTA so far. That could change, but we'll see. But there's only one way to find out, and that's by buying the game and playing it. And with that comes probably a pre-order. You know, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. And GTA, you know, still has some good graces for me. So as far as, you know, those outstanding franchises, like, you know, Halo used to be an auto pre-order. Not anymore. Call of Duty used to be an auto pre-order. Not for a while now. It's been probably over a decade since that's changed. But GTA 6 is, you know, an event in the history of gaming and culture that, why not? You know, it's not, you know, if I get burned by it, it's at least it's this game, not, you know, The Division or Destiny, which I have been burnt by those two games. And Watch Dogs, like Brian mentioned, but, you know, who hasn't with that game?
Yeah.
So, I'm definitely doing it.
All right. Manny, I know you're not, obviously. You're not even going to buy the game.
I have never pre-ordered a GTA game. Also, don't think I've ever bought a GTA game. You bought me a GTA game.
But you know, you never bought one, so you're definitely out of the running.
And I played a one GTA game under very questionable means.
Uh-oh.
if you remember the original Vice City, I never really bought that one.
Yeah, but you did play it.
I did play it.
And that's all we'll say about that. Yeah. Rich, what are your thoughts? Again, you know, you're probably in the same boat as me.
Oh, yes, Tony. I am in the same boat as you. I have no plans to pre-order. However, I am going to be doing a little bit of investigative journalism, if you will, because what I am going to do is I'm going to see if GameStop actually has midnight openings for this event. And I'm going to actually go to one of those and see if it's actually going to be lines to actually get access to the game. So I will definitely let you know how that experience goes.
Yeah. It's funny you bring that up because that was Manny and I actually went to a pre-order event for, what's any event? It's just, you know, midnight launch at our local GameStop for GTA 5. And we recorded, interviews with people for STFU and Play, you know. That was the last midnight thing I ever did. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that because I won't be doing that for this one because I probably got work the next day. You know,
the midnight thing I did was actually for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Ooh, fancy! Yeah. That was the last one you did
that night. Not yet. That was the old. That was the last one, and then the pandemic happened, and then they don't exist.
Yeah. So Rich, it'll be very interesting.
2019, but nowadays they don't. Yeah. You're lucky if your GameStop will stay open. Nowadays they've been closing a lot of those.
That's right. Yeah. All right. That was good. Moving on here, Fergus Mills. Shout out to Fergus Mills. He goes, adding to Eurocar's question, if GTA 6 online mode isn't confirmed to be available day one, will it affect your pre-order decision? Carlos, this question's strictly for you since you're the only one pre-ordering this game.
Well, first and foremost, I want to start the answer with shout out to Fergus Mills. And to answer his question, oh, hell no. Because it won't affect it because primarily the thing I primarily care about is a single player. And, multiplayer, even if I'm kind of interested in it, that can wait. It's not in my top priority. I know it is for most people, though. Most fans of the franchise want, you know, the successor to GTA Online. So no, it's not going to affect my decision making on that. I'm still more curious about the single player and see how that works out.
I will just say, if I were to pre-order the game, I would be in your boat. I'm mostly there for the single player. Don't really care about the online. I will play online, obviously. We've played a lot of GTA Online back in the day, that is not the main hook for me, you know? All right. Shout out to Fergus Mills, as always. Lego Bro. Now, this is a question he actually asked us last week, but it kind of came close to when we were recording, so I missed it. But it was my fault. Technically, you asked this question 15 minutes before the cutoff time. So that was my fault. It was two questions. One of them, but I felt the first one, I'm just going to be honest, was too mean-spirited, so we're not going to go for that. The question was, like, you know, now that we know Xbox is going to let go of some studios, which studios do you want them to close down? We don't want any studios being closed down, you know? There's a difference between wanting a studio to be shut down and wanting a studio to work on different projects. Like, we do not think, you know, the Halo studio should be working on Halo games, but I don't want them to be shut down. I don't want people to lose their jobs, you know? And I think I speak for all of us when I say that. So we're not going to go with that question, you know? I hope you understand that. Too mean-spirited, you know? But we'll answer your other question, which is also about GTA 6. Should Nintendo release the new Zelda game close to GTA 6? No, but they probably will. Again, we said this, I think, either on the Thursday show or before that. Ocarina of Time and GTA 6 probably have vastly different audiences. So I don't think it's going to be affected, you know. There's probably some crossover here and there. But generally speaking, you know, I don't think it'll be affected too much. But obviously, you know, if you're a normie and you have to pick one, you're probably going to go with GTA. But if you're just a Nintendo fan, then what else are you going to buy? You can't buy GTA 6, you know? So, yeah, I don't think they're going to – I don't think it'll be too bad. But I still would advise them to release it in at least October, you know? But, yeah, what do you guys say?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be that much crossover, like you mentioned. They should do it for the memes.
Yes.
And also – It's an old game. I mean, it's not like, you know, Ocarina of Time. It's like, oh my God, and there's nothing else that I care about but playing Ocarina of Time for the third time. And honestly, the people that are most hyped about it are the people that have played it more than once. I don't know. There probably is, but I wonder how big the... Well, maybe there is. So here's what I'm thinking. I was just thinking like, oh, so they're releasing Ocarina of Time. So it's just, you know, older folks, you know, people that are older than 30 are... excited about this, but maybe, you know, Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild have been major phenomenons. Maybe a lot of the new people that went into those games would be interested in this. Who knows? I'd be curious to see how those numbers compare. But as far as this, there's a lot of Switch owners that don't have a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox, so I'm pretty sure a lot of them have, you know, bandwidth to play some new games on their system, and I'm pretty sure Ocarina of Time can, you know, fill in for that.
All right, I agree with that, and I think the rest probably do. All right, we'll move on.
I agree with everything that was just been said.
All right, we got a few questions here for Mr. George W. Cush. He goes, "What's up, guys? I hope you had a good week and a good weekend. First of all, thank you for your answers last week about a Wind Waker reveal reaction. That was super interesting. You're welcome." All right, first question from him, also about GTA 6. Noticing a pattern tonight. This one's interesting. What do you think will be the next most universally hyped game comparable to GTA 6? Will it be Elder Scrolls 6, the new 3D Mario, or Far Cry? Nothing matches the hype of a GTA game. Not even Kingdom a Call Hearts. Of Duty. I don't know about that, but that is pretty good. Although I will say, I think the luster for Kingdom Hearts has kind of gone down since the last game came out in recent memory. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I don't think Kingdom Hearts is as big, but they're like the next most popular game, whatever that would be. I don't even know what it could be. The gulf is so wide. Yeah, it probably won't even be fucking Elder Scrolls, you know?
It's the next mainline Zelda game.
Yeah, probably. And again, that gulf is fucking wide, you know? Because Zelda's not exactly, you know, like a normie game like GTA is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is going to be the next Zelda game, but that's...
Or Super Smash or something like
but that. But it's a... The gap is so fucking wide, man, you know? And that's, again, and that's not even universal, bro. Like, that's really for Nintendo fans and gaming journalists. But yeah, no, GTA, Grand Theft Auto in general, exists in its own space. It really does.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean... To give context to maybe there's some younger folks listening, this is the most hype release ever.
Yeah, ever.
We've been through, you know, the Halos, the Call of Duties, the Marios, the Final Fantasies in their heyday. You know, there's a lot of huge franchises, but nothing compares to whatever the hell this is. This is something different. Even GTA back then.
Yeah, GTA back then was not. By the way, I like how one of his stipulations was your answer cannot be GTA 7, which probably would be the next big hype game, you know?
Yeah.
Especially if this one is really good and then the next one takes like 10 years, bro, that's going to be the next hype game.
We're going to get one of those meme comments that we get on a lot of, I see on a lot of YouTube videos when something happens before GTA 6, people say it's like, you know, we got this before GTA 6. But for GTA 7, it's like we got the 22nd century before GTA 7.
Yeah, and we got GTA 6. And we got GTA 6 before the winter.
That is true.
Yo, it has. Did you see that? By the way, not to go off topic, but I gotta say this: more time has passed between the last Song of Ice and Fire book and now than all the books being released. Mm. Understand that?
Yeah,
that is insane. George, you're a lazy fuck, you know?
He's going to too many conventions.
It's wild. Anyway, yeah, nothing beats GTA. And we're not saying that as fanboys. It's just the objective truth, You know, ironically enough, I know you said that's the stipulation, but ironically enough, the next hype game will be GTA 7 if this game it lives up to the hype, you know?
Yeah. At that caliber, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing comes close, man. You know, it is crazy. All right. What about the rest of you guys? What do you say? Nothing?
I just said the next hype game is Kingdom Hearts.
All right. There you go.
That's my answer.
Fair enough.
Kingdom Hearts of fans are as hungry as Bloodborne fans.
Yeah. I'm going to be very interested to see what their reactions are to 4, because we haven't, you know, remember, between Kingdom Hearts 2 and 3, motherfuckers grew up, graduated, had kids, you know?
Yeah. It's
just like with GTA 5 and 6.
It's like 6, what was it? Yeah, 2019 is when
yeah.
the last Kingdom Hearts game came out.
Yeah, so it's like so not it's that long ago compared to, you know, the 2 and 3.
I made the joke. I said at the time, I'm like, my beard was still black when that game came out.
That's funny. Same thing with GTA 6, GTA 5. You know.
Yep, GTA 5. We were young.
Yep, young. I still didn't have
2016?
Hair. No, 2013. I still didn't have hair back then either.
2013. Oh my fucking god! What the?
Yep, that's when it came out.
It's like a decade. It's almost a decade.
No, it's right? more than a decade.
Yeah. Oh my god! What the fuck?
Yeah,
mind you, we still doing that show back then.
Yeah, Throwdown was still there. You know, that was like a year into it, really. Which is interesting. The original version of Throwdown.
Yep, the OG one.
Yeah. Although the 10th anniversary of this version happened a few years ago, too. So we've been at it for a while, people. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. All right. And that's enough GTA 6 questions. So let's move on to other stuff.
What you got?
Yeah. This next one is also from George W. Kish. I'm guessing he wants another history story like we gave with Wind Waker. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it to that extent. But we'll try. He goes, how was the hype for Ocarina of Time when it released? Was it instantly seen as one of the best games of all time, or did that conclusion come years later? Then the second part of the question is, if it really was that legendary, why did Majora's Mask have poor sales as a sequel to the supposed best game ever? All right, let's take them both at a time. And I will make full disclosure, because this game dropped in 1998. I was not really paying much attention because it was all about motherfucking Metal Gear Solid that year. That game came out of Metal Gear Solid
and talking about Final Fantasy VII still
talking about Final or talk about how mad we were over Final Fantasy VIII. You know how that fucked up. You know,
yeah, how that fucked up.
Yeah. So yeah, speaking for myself and maybe for Manny too, the Ocarina of Time was not really on my radar. It was one of those things where EGM's talking about it, but it's like I gloss it over because it was on a console I didn't own for a franchise I didn't care about, and I was focused on other things. And back then, you know, you know, aside from gaming magazines, you kind of had to go out of your way to really know what's happening in the industry, like. Even when it came to the Wind Waker, right, we already had X-Play and shit like that. So it was easier to learn about that stuff, you know?
There was the
game trailers was around back then, you know?
Granted, the internet did exist around. Was around in 1998. But I don't think, there was forums and stuff, but it wasn't really that, you know, a lot of people weren't on back then, you know?
Yeah.
So, even 1998, but I would say for Ocarina, like me and Tony weren't really that looking in that direction. My brother had a Nintendo 64, so I had the PlayStation. He had the N64, and he had that game. But I mean, like I could almost feel things didn't feel like Fever Pitch back in those days. Like in other words, if something was like a blockbuster, you didn't really feel that it was a blockbuster because officially, you know, like you didn't see lines going around the corner or anything like that for games back then. You know, definitely some of them did happen, like for the original Nintendo and stuff like that, but you didn't get a lot of that sort of stuff back then.
Yeah. And again, you know, gaming media coverage was not what it was even 5 years later. So it was hard to see the impact of things like, but here's the thing, when a game blew up, you kind of knew about it. Like I knew Ocarina of Time was a big deal. Just like I knew Final Fantasy, I'm going to call it what it was. Final Fantasy 3 was a big deal, even though it was not a game I was playing. Everybody was talking about it. But with Zelda, again, it was just like the gaming magazines were talking about, but no one in my life was playing it, you know? And and by like, I'm talking about Manny and our close friends. None of us owned a Nintendo 64, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when none of us had N64.
Not even Evil Chris?
Nope, especially not him.
No, Evil Chris actually, well, we didn't know Chris then when
we did.
Game came out.
We did. 1998, we absolutely knew him.
1998? No, we didn't.
19. Said Evil. He said Evil Chris.
Yeah, Evil Chris, yes. You know, Chris, the Sealy? No.
No, we didn't know him.
We did not know him.
Yeah.
Until, like, the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. But no, Evil Chris didn't like the Nintendo 64 either.
No,
you know.
But Chris would tell you he sold his N64 for a Dreamcast.
Oh shit! There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, does anybody here have any memories of Ocarina of Time?
I have memories of playing it. I don't have memories of the time, sort of how the reception was when it was announced, because I was way too young when it came out.
Yeah.
Like I didn't know any better, so I didn't really have a grasp of what was going on with that. So yeah, but I just remember, you know, playing it, you know, all the time with I didn't own it. My neighbors did. I'm pretty sure you guys did this too. Like, for, you know, I don't know, if the person, was it Kush that asked the question?
Yeah. Kush. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how old, George W. Kush is, but you know, back then you didn't own all the games that you played. Like sometimes it was strategic. Like, one of your buddies would buy a different game. Yeah. You would have one game, and then someone else would have a different game. Then you just played it like at your buddy's house. And that's how you'd play a lot of games. At least that's how I did.
No, we did the same thing. You know, like Manny, you know, did not own a Saturn, but he was very well versed in Saturn because of me and some of our other friends.
Yeah, so like
I got to experience Metal Gear. I didn't own that PlayStation. Yeah. I went to Manny's house every day after school to watch him play. It was dope.
Yeah. I had the PlayStation. Chris, Evil Chris, and Tony had Sega Saturns,
and our boy Mike
too. And also Mike. So everybody had Saturns, and I had the PlayStation. me and Mike had 3DOs.
Yeah, but no, that's how I was, you know. Yeah, I would go to Manny's house all the time, go watch him play Metal Gear. And Manny, you know, because that's a fun story. We had our mutual friend Navarro. And he had Donkey Kong, and Manny was pissed, you know, because Navarro never let you play the game, you know?
Yeah, because like he'd do shit like, he's like, oh, let me show you this. He'd take the fucking controller away from like, can I just play the goddamn game?
Yeah. And the reason I bring this up, because I just said I was watching Manny play. Manny kept on, hey, you want to play the game? I'm like, man, I'm good. Keep playing. Because I enjoyed watching it. You know, like it's a movie. I'm like, no, you keep playing. I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know? But yeah, so well, Ocarina of Time, I didn't personally know the impact of that game. It's like you said, years later, right? The main takeaway that I didn't know at the time was Z-Lock, right? Basically, back in those days, there was no dedicated lock-on button for action games, right? So when you're swinging, you also had to manipulate the camera. But remember, most games did not have a second analog stick. So it was very clumsy. Mm-hmm. So that game, you held on the Z button on the controller and would lock onto the enemy. And then, like, you know, the camera kind of go behind them and shit, you know? And then, so I didn't know that that's where it came from originally. So, you know, I was like, okay, that's dope. We got to give it respect for that. And regarding Ocarina of Time, I did play it, the remake on 3DS, like in 2011, right? And as I'm playing the game, I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand why this game is so beloved, because, you know, that lock-on was even felt good even back then. And just the story was cool, too. You know, the journey with Link, very simplistic, but you know, really did a good job of, like, immersing you. And then the flip, you know, where you become older and shit, like, whoa, that's cool. You know, and again, it's those things I knew about all this stuff just through osmosis, because, you know, years later, you know, X-Play and game trailers that would have retrospectives on these things. That's how I really learned about it. But in the moment, I didn't really understand Apex, but I would years later. And again, having played the game myself, at least the remake, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I like, because when I play remakes, I try to put myself in the space of that time period, right? And I'm like, okay, yeah, this would be crazy in 1998, you know? So definitely give Ocarina Time its flowers, as the kids would say. And I think it's a game that's definitely worthy of being remade, you know? So I think it's good that they're doing it. Go ahead, Carlos, what are you going to say?
No, it's just pretty much the same things that you said. Like, it was, I remember that Z-Lock function. I would flip all around the place, man. You do those link flips.
That was crazy.
You know, that shit hit like crack. And yeah, I mean, the game was pretty big, like pretty vast. Like it took you on an adventure. It was a 3D world, a 3D game. Like, we're still getting used to those types of games in 98. You know, I think, you know, 96 was when this N64 came out with Super Mario 64 and sort of became mainstream, you know, outside of like Doom and Wolfenstein type of games. So yeah, shout out to Ocarina of Time, and I'm looking forward to the remake whenever the hell they release it, because somehow we still don't have a date.
It's amazing. We just know 2026, but it's like, you know what comes out at the end of 2026, right, Nintendo? But it's crazy. Rich, you have any stories about Ocarina of Time?
Unfortunately not. You know, what you said earlier, Tony, was about a Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, that occupied a lot of my time, playing every game in that series. So, yeah, I definitely remember how big Zelda was. That did feel like an event as well. But I must confess, I do not remember anything of those games, because once I saw other games like Metal Gear, I said, all right, let me play this instead. So it was no going back. So would I check this game out? Possibly. Would I buy a Nintendo Switch to check this game out? Absolutely not. So we'll see what happens.
Yo, Rich, so is this your equivalent of 1999 Richard Bailey Jr. saying, grown man gaming?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, if Nintendo decides to release this in November, which I'm sure they will, it doesn't matter to me, because I'm going to be playing Grand Theft Auto 6. But I much respect to those that are looking forward to this game. But no. Grand Theft Auto 6, that's where I'll be at.
And Brian, I'm going to take a wild guess that you have no real stories here.
Nope, no real stories. Never really played it.
All right. I wonder what Chris would have said. I don't know if he was playing it or not.
Remember, I told you, he sold his N64.
Yeah, but the thing is, you said he sold it for his Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast was 1999. Did he play it in 1998? That's what I'm wondering.
That's one thing I don't know, but I know that his wife is a very big Zelda fan, so she was all about that.
Yeah. What's going on, Fergus Mills? Shout out to you, brother, in the chat.
Mr. Mills.
All right. Next up, we got a sponsored question. Romudeth
is sponsored.
Mr. Romudeth, good guy. He's sponsoring another extra George W. Kush question. And the question is, and you guys, let me finish this one. You know, it's nothing controversial, but let me finish this before you dive in. For those of you who aren't big fans of Nintendo, would you be willing to try franchises like Zelda or Metroid if they embraced more mature themes and their dark atmosphere? Now, here's the thing. And I understand, you know, comparatively speaking, like, you're newer to us, so I totally get it. Feel free to ask us stuff. So you know, but you may have missed some stuff, you know, that we have said. Speaking for myself personally, I don't have to try, I don't have to give Zelda or Metroid a shot, because I have. As a matter of fact, Metroid, you know, and the guys who, you know, been listening do know this, I love me some motherfucking Metroid. I played the last two games, Metroid Dread and Samus Returns, two of my favorite games. Fantastic. Super Metroid on the Super Nintendo, I consider a 10 out of 10 game. I don't say that about a lot of bad games, you know. As for Zelda, I've made my stance on it very clear. I played the original Zelda on the Nintendo back in the day. I did not like it. I didn't like the whole wandering around shit without a map. You needed a fucking map for that game, you know. Nintendo Power sold a lot of magazines, you know, by telling you how to beat that fucking game. I didn't like it. I played Ocarina of Time. I thought it was fantastic. I played and beat all of Breath of the Wild. I thought it was highly overrated. So I have given the Zelda franchise a shot, and I'm probably going to play Ocarina of Time as well, the remake. But and Metroid, I love. You give me a Metroid game, I'm buying that shit. 2D Metroid specifically. I don't really, I never played the Prime games, nor do I care. But 2D Metroid, just like 2D Sonic, I'm fucking there.
And you played Mario.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I want to bring up, because it seems like, George, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but just based off your question, seems like you think my main problem with Nintendo is that they're not mature. No, that's not the problem at all. You give me a proper sequel to Mario Odyssey, I'm there, you know? And Super Mario World, that's another 10 out of 10 game. I only give that title to two fucking games, Super Metroid, Super Mario World, 10 out of 10 games, absolutely perfect, right? Mario is not mature. You know, I love me some Mario. Bro, I was playing fucking Super Mario 3D World on Switch. That game is fantastic. You know, I love me some Mario games. But it's just in general, I'm not a Nintendo fan like that. But yeah, Metroid, Mario, I'm fucking there. Zelda, I could live without though. You know, I just wanted to clear that up. It's not that a matter of me not trying anything. I have, and I actually do love some of these franchises, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so an answer very similar to Tony. It's not that I hate Nintendo. It's just, you know, I played the, you know, on the original Nintendo when it came out back in the day, you know, Super Nintendo. I wasn't a big fan of the Zelda titles. You know, but I appreciated that they existed.
Yeah, I also, Manny, I'm glad you bring that up real quick. I also was not a fan of Link's Adventure, you know, since you bring it up.
Yeah, I didn't care for Link's Adventure very much. I did play, what was it? Twilight Princess on the Nintendo Wii. But yeah, definitely, you know, Mario Galaxy is one of my favorite titles from Nintendo. But it has nothing to do with, I think, with the games being more adult.
Grown man gaming.
Yeah, to be honest, I wouldn't change those games to fit what I want, my preferences. Those games are as fine as they are. They just don't do enough for me to go out and buy a Nintendo console.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that's a good way of seeing it. Game, you know, you don't want a game to cater to your taste. You let them be what they're going to be, but sometimes what they are isn't for you, you know?
Like what some people tend to do, mm-hmm. where they're like, well, this game should be this, and this game should... You know, if it's an established title and it's working, then, you know, go with it. Add to it, do things to it, like, but, you know, it doesn't need to change. You don't need to turn fucking Zelda into Demon Souls or into what's that game, Elden Ring. It doesn't need to be that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Brent, I'm gonna go to you next, because you're also not a big Nintendo fan, but you liked Breath of the Wild.
Yes, I did. Again, I gave it a shot, and it was one of the better RPGs I played in a while, but man, that Switch was just chugging through that game, and it was struggling hard. It reminded me a lot of running GTA 5 on a PS3, where it's like, is it going to be okay this time? Like, so when I heard of Tears of the Kingdom, I was like, ooh, I'd rather not kill my Switch. So if that game came out, well, it's out on Switch 2, right? Or it's Switch 2 compatible by backwards compatibility?
It's compatible, yeah. Yes. I believe, yeah.
Yeah, so it might be worth a revisit to make sure that it's run to a stable frame rate. But yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought it was fun, whimsical, not too serious. Never tried Metroid. I don't know why. It seemed like it would be right up my alleyway. So maybe I should.
Yeah, Metroid's good fun. If you ever played Metroidvania game, you'll like it. Let's see, Rich, what about you? What do you say about this?
Well, first and foremost, that is a phenomenal question. I think you guys gave phenomenal answers. But unlike what has been said before, where I agree with everything that has been said, no, I do have something different to say about this. I do have the jokes about the grown man gaming, but with all due respect, I still do recall certain Nintendo titles that have come out in the past. In order for me to pick up a Switch, I definitely need to see a new Star Fox. Hmm. I'm not talking about the one that's coming out later this week. I'm talking about a new Star Fox game. I also would like to see F-Zero return at some point, if that was possible. Those are the type of games that I did enjoy. Metroid is a series that I was curious about getting into. I just never really got into that. But I definitely was looking at the games you mentioned, Tony, and I would try those out for sure. And as for Zelda, you know, like, I've never really been a huge Zelda fan. But again, I would be willing to try it out just if I give it a try, because I do recall when Super Mario World, I think it was Super Mario World, came out and I did a demo for it at PAX. I said, oh, this game is phenomenal. You know, so I absolutely would check out more stuff on a Nintendo Switch. It just depends on what games they are that they bring to the table. And the last point that I will mention, I am a bit curious about getting into the Fire Emblem games, because obviously I've been getting into JRPGs and RPGs a lot more often. So yeah, those are things that I would be curious to check out at some point, but I got to see a little bit more from the Switch to convince me to actually pick up one.
Yeah. And Carlos, you know, you are a active Nintendo fan. So the question is not directly for you, but, you know, feel free to chime in.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a Dumeke level fan. I'm far from that, because he's, you know, Mr. Switch.
Yeah, but you know, compared to the rest of us on this panel.
Yeah, relative to the Throwdown panel, I'm a far switcher. I love all the Nintendo franchises. You know, Mario, I played pretty much all the mainline Mario games. I pretty much played most of the Zelda games, the Metroid games, except for the last one, the Prime 4. I played pretty much most of them. And I love all those, you know, and I agree with Rich. F-Zero should come back. Bring it back. What's going on? Right. And Star Fox 64 is one of my favorite games ever. And to be honest, I was kind of disappointed with the remake announcement, just because, you know, the character models kind of look crazy. It's like, oh, but it looks like the cover of the Super Nintendo game. It's still creepy, man. I don't care if they're staying true, but it looks creepy, especially considering that, the movie, the Super Mario Galaxy movie, had a pretty cool rendition of Fox. But besides that, I'm a huge fan of most of the Nintendo franchises. I'm not into some of the newer ones like Splatoon or even Animal Crossing. That one's not new, but it's still not, you know, not my cup of tea. But as far as the classic franchises, I love most of them. I even kind of consider Donkey Kong kind of I'm tripping because when I think Donkey Kong, I think of Rare,
remember, like, that's what kind of put Nintendo on the map, the fucking Donkey Kong arcade, you know, with Mario and shit going up the ladder construction, you know. That motherfucking monkey just throwing barrels out of it, shit.
Mario who?
Yeah, right.
You know? So yeah, like, and you know, Bonanza was one of the best games of, was it last year or 2 years ago? Whenever that came out.
Banana. Yeah, it was great. You know? Ooh, see, there's another one. I love that fucking game, man. That game was great. Banana.
We always, and you know, for even for the people that, you know, like Dumeke, who always, you know, jokes around with us, like, because we don't give a Nintendo as much love, he will still admit that, you know, we always give praise to Nintendo first party development.
Oh yeah.
And the quality they do on their game, especially compared to the other dudes.
You get a fucking Nintendo first party game, you know that shit's going to work. You know you're going to get a full experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And I know some motherfuckers are going to come in, oh, what about Pokemon? That shit was fucked up. That's Game Freak, baby. You know?
Yeah. And I love Pokemon. I just haven't been in the recent stuff, but you know.
So see, there you go. We like Nintendo around here. All right. By the way, George, great questions, man. I'm being honest. Great questions. I like that. Nice spread there. You know. Again, man. You know, because I know you're on the younger side. Please ask us stuff. We're old guys, and we like to tell history of video games. It's fun to us. All right. And the last question of the night from none other than Mr. Fergus Mills.
Yo, yo.
This is a fun one, too. Very interesting. He wants us to describe our feelings and thoughts on your first experience playing the PlayStation Portable. And what was your favorite game on it? We're going to do a history lesson, people. You know, we're going to go around the room and, you know, tell each other stories. I kind of want Manny to go first, but he seems busy right now. So I'll skip over to, go ahead,
being
Carlos.
That I am I'm the visual aid god.
Oh, that's what he's doing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, let's go. Let's go. But yeah, Manny, while you're looking, tell us about the PSP. When did you get it? You know, and tell us, you know, anything related to that. Mm-hmm. There it is. The visual aid god. Flip that shit
it's
over.
The MG-
flip it over, motherfucking flip it over.
Speaking of Peace Walker, this is the special Peace Walker edition of the PSP. So when I actually, the funny thing is the reason why I bought the PSP was actually because of Peace Walker. You know, I had been sort of jockeying to get one for a little bit, but just wasn't enough reasons for me to pick it up. But they put essentially the next major Metal Gear title on it, and that's why I bought it. So what was it? I have, what do I still have in here? I have, it came with a Dissidia. So what I did was when I originally prepping to get a plate to get to for Peace Walker, I went out and bought a PSP. I bought the silver one, but then I found out that they were going to make a special Metal Gear one. So I sold that one to Tony so that he had one. So, but I still have all the extras that came with it. It's like, hey, do you want to watch Advent Children on a,
when was the last time you motherfucker saw a UMD, you know?
Yeah. Universal Media Disc, son. What is this? God of War Ghost of Sparta.
Oh, look at that.
Put that back in its case. Yeah.
What's going on, Sketch?
But yeah, that was like, you know, again, like originally there was definitely things that I wanted to play on, but again, like I felt like at the point that I picked it up was a point where like there was a lot of things that I really wanted to play on, and that's what I originally pulled the trigger on it. Yeah, I mean, it was a great portable. I mean, a very good competition for the DS at the time, or the war.
Yeah,
DS slash what was the other one? Game Boy Advance? Did that come out at the same time?
Maybe, but definitely the DS.
Definitely for the DS. And, you know, you got, like, really good-looking, you know, close to PlayStation 2 quality-type games on it. Yeah.
I wanted you to go first because mine, you know, Manny already kind of set the history there. I was always interested, but I never had the impetus to pull the trigger. But when Manny wanted to sell me his PSP, because I wanted Metal Gear as well, Peace Walker, you know, because Kojima was working on that shit. I was like, all right, this is the time, you know. So bought it off Manny, you know, the silver one, got Peace Walker. Peace Walker's fucking amazing. Then I started just, you know, I wouldn't say I bought a lot of games, but I did buy a lot of good stuff that I sunk a lot of hours to. I think the game I played the most was Final Fantasy IV. Originally known as Final Fantasy II in America. And I wish they would have remade that version of it because they like redid the sprites to, you know, like to be more kind of cartoonish, but they still had that pixelness to them. The special effects were great. The music was fucking awesome. They had like a full orchestra. It was fantastic. That's also how I played Final Fantasy I and II because they remade those in that same style. I should say they remade those and then they came out with four. They also had Final Fantasy III. I did buy that, but it was the 3D one. I didn't like that. I didn't like the way they did that. There was also a 3D version of four as well, but I didn't buy that. I think those were the main. I'm probably missing something. I know I played. Oh, what am I? Yo, I'm fucking bugging. The God of War games were legit, you know, by Ready at Dawn. I especially like Ghost of Sparta. That was really good. And I'm pretty sure I played the GTA games that were available for the PSP. Liberty City Stories. I played that. That was dope. I always wanted to buy the Assassin's Creed game for it, but I never got around to it. The one with Altair, I believe. There was also the one with the girl in like New Orleans. I was curious about that, but I didn't get to play it. But yeah, whenever I think about the PSP, the games I think about, the most are the Final Fantasy games. I played so many hours of this shit, man. It was so good. You know, I probably have way more games I played, but, you know, it's been so long, you know. But yeah, PSP for life, man. That was a great system, you know. I'll go around the room. Carlos, what about you, bro?
Yeah, my first thoughts on the PSP, when it came out, it was like, it was crazy because you were, before that,
the Uncharted game, remember that shit? That was on there, you know? Oh, no, that's the PS, that was the PS Go. That's
Vita.
Ooh, that's a whole other story. Somebody asks about the PS Go next time, PSP Go. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so when the PSP came out, it was, to me, it was game-changing because it could do everything. It was the media box. Yeah. Like, you can watch movies. You can play games. You can do anything on that. I think you can do web browsing. I don't remember if you do that, but I just remember it did everything. As far as the games, I think my favorites were the God of War games, you know, Chains of Olympus and Ghost of Sparta. Because to me, those games were on par with the PS2 games.
I like those. I'm not kidding you right now. I like those two games more than God of War 2. I did not like God of War 2, the Corey Barlog game, but I like those fucking games, you know?
Mm-hmm. They had everything.
Sketch, that was actually my first taste of Final Fantasy Tactics. I did play War of the Lions, but I stopped playing it because it was too fucking long. You know, I finally kind of soldiered through it with the recent version because they kind of took out some of that fucking grind. But I even back then when I was playing Final Fantasy Tactics, I'm like, damn, this dialogue is fucking good, you know? Anyway, Carlos, continue.
And yeah, you know, I played most of the games that, you know, Tony and Manny have mentioned as well. Those are great games. I do want to give a shout out to Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, which is probably, you know, my top five games on the PSP. So I enjoyed that. I'm trying to think what else I played on that hasn't been mentioned. I think I played all the Liberty City stories and Vice City stories. Was Chinatown Wars on that one as well?
I don't remember if that was on that or was it on PSP Go?
PSP Go.
Oh, excuse me, the Vita, yeah. Was it on the Vita? No. I played Chinatown Wars on Vita.
No. Well, China, remember, PSP games could easily be played on the
Vita. Yeah, so I'm not sure. Otaku Man says no.
Chinatown Wars was... are you sure about that, Otaku Man? I thought Chinatown Wars was released on the PSP. Yeah, It was originally on the Nintendo, though.
Yeah, because I remember playing it on
the Vita. Remember, Chinatown Wars was made like an old GTA. It was like a top angle game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He says it was on PSP. All right, there you go.
Shout out to the PSP. I watched a lot of movies there. The UMDs, like Manny mentioned, they were fun, but they were loud, especially when they started. It always made that noise. The opening and closing the tray was always satisfying to me. I mean, that was satisfying. And imagine the people who actually played the PSP Go when they opened it and closed it. That I don't know how that felt because I never owned one of those. But yeah, man, the PSP was a game changer for me. It was. You know, and it was before I even had a smartphone, so it kind of felt like a smartphone before a smartphone, except it couldn't do all the phone stuff, but, you know.
Also, we forgot to mention Ghost of Sparta and Chains of Olympus.
No, I mentioned those. You were gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you were gone. I mentioned those, and I said I like those better than God of War 2.
Yeah, I like those better than God of War 2.
Rich, do you have any memories of the PSP?
Oh, yeah. I think you guys nailed it with God of War. I do remember God of War Sparta. And Chains of Olympus. I also remember GTA, Vice City Stories, Peace Walker. Two other games I played extensively on the PSP. Tekken Dark Resurrection.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
Kratos in it.
Yeah. that was a lot of fun. And Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Shit.
Yeah, those games are good. And I did get a chance to check out the Assassin's Creed game you mentioned. I think it was Assassin's Creed Bloodlines. I did get a chance to check that out. So, yeah, I enjoyed all that stuff on there.
Yeah, some good stuff. Brian, did you ever play the PSP?
I did not, but I was actually quite excited for it. I thought it was a great idea. I mean, it was basically a portable PS2. And at that point, who didn't love the PS2? Well, I know who didn't love the PS2, but they were idiots, so that's their fault. But yeah, it was like, you can just play PS2 games, but on the go. I was like, okay, this is amazing. But the games just didn't really land. I mean, again, I love the concept of the God of War games, and I really did want to, but I just couldn't see myself getting a new machine just for two games. So I just never fell in love into it. And then, again, the Vita happened, and yeah, you guys know the rest of that story. Mm, so yeah, again, PSP was a fantastic idea. Again, it was Sony's answer to the Nintendos, and everyone knows that, well, Sony's answer to the Game Boys, and the Game Boys were like the handheld at that point in time, where everyone's like, oh yeah, Game Boys are just a handheld console, and that's it, you know. So Sony entering that space was like, oh shit, you know, like the guys that made the PS2 are now entering the mobile space. This is going to be insane. And yeah, it's a shame it didn't do as well as I thought it would do. But yeah, I thought it was a great idea. Like, again, you could watch movies on it, you could play games on it, you could, it was portable, you know, such a cool concept.
Yeah, I mean, it paved the way for the smartphone. I'm gonna just say it had a touchscreen too, didn't it?
The Vita did.
I don't know if the PSP did, though. No, it probably didn't. Yeah. But you're right. Watching movies and shit, like you could do it now, obviously, but you're right. The PSP was the only way to do it. You know, watching movies on the go like that. Sony thought UMD was going to be big, you know, because it wasn't just supposed to be for the PSP. It was supposed to be on other devices, too, I believe.
They actually did use UMDs for other things. They never really caught on.
No, they didn't. That was an interesting time. Interesting show. We went from GTA to history lessons. I like. They had that remote play in Skype VoIP. Oh, shit. I don't remember that. That's pretty awesome.
Well, Vita, PSP did have a version of remote play, but it was sort of gimped because you couldn't do every game. It was only certain games you could do on it.
Well, Taco Man says the anime titles on UMD were awesome. Ooh, pretty cool.
Also, we also got to mention that the PSP was so good that the PS3 directly, they just copied the user interface.
They really did, yeah. That was crazy.
But I mean, I could see why they would do something like that, where in other words, they keep, you know, keeping your UI similar. That makes, to me, that makes sense. If you're going to go down the line of UIs, you shouldn't just be like, if it's part of the same line of stuff, why not keep it all similar? Even their DVDs actually had, their DVD players had the same UI, by the way. The Blu-ray players,
yeah,
they had the same.
That's right. Yeah. Sony, man.
Sony.
All right. Sketch says, too bad Sony stuck their head up their own ass with it. Yeah, they especially fucked up with the Vita, but that's a story for another day. Mm-hmm. You know, but the PSP was awesome. Great, great little handheld. All right, man, we are done. So let's start pimping. Rich was coming up on the Coalition this week.
Yeah, so I'm still working on Summer Game Fest stuff. There are also a couple of things, other things that are happening behind the scenes you cannot really talk about yet, but I would just say stay tuned to thecoalition.com for some more gaming stuff, some previews, some reviews, so on and so forth. Stay tuned for that, and shout out to Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. As I will always say on every podcast, the hardest working man covering all of these TV shows. So definitely check out the TV Terminal.
Damn right. Manny, I know you got some stuff.
Yep, just announced last week, which is going to be coming in October, is Dinner Date, a new series that is written by Joanne Starr and drawn by Kari Randolph and colored by myself. And that's going to be coming out later this year. And also TMNT, the TMNT, Tales of TMNT #1 with the cover by Kari and myself. And that's showing up in September. So got a couple of things, you know, coming along the pipeline. Obviously, as always, I always have some other things, you know, that will sneak in, you know, but stay tuned for that.
Sneak it in there. All right. Shout out to everybody in the chat tonight, guys. We're awesome. Sketch says, I still got a better screen on my Vita than on my house TV to watch Netflix and shit. That's funny. Yeah, that OLED screen, you know, and it's funny how we have some modern handhelds without OLED screens, yet the Vita, the first one to do it all those years ago. Shout out to the Vita too, man. That's a great one. All right, man. Yeah, let's get out of here. So be sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang as always. You know, check us out on your favorite podcast app and check out the links for everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Oh, man, this week we get those prices.
It's in Thursday, people. Watch out. That's going to be a very interesting show. We're going to find out about the Steam Machine and GTA, so get ready for pain, you know? All right, we'll see you then. Later.
Laters.
Deuces.